Welcome to Dentists, Puns, and Money. I'm your host, Sean Terrell, and my guest on today's episode is Dr. Laura Brenner with Lola B's Career Coaching. Dr. Laura practiced for 10 years before leaving clinical dentistry due to burnout, and she's now a certified professional coach, speaker, and blogger. Dr. Laura and I discuss how dentists can spot the signs of burnout and what they can do about it. As a reminder, our affiliated firm, Dentist Exit Planning, helps dentists nearing clinical retirement reduce their lifetime tax bill and replace their practice income so they don't have to compromise on that lifestyle they've come to love. If you are interested in financial guidance on your exit from dentistry, schedule an initial consultation with us on our website. That's dentistexit.com. And with that introduction, I hope you enjoy my conversation with Dr. Laura Brenner. All right, Dr. Laura Brenner, welcome to Dentists, Puns, and Money. I am excited to hear your story and thank you for joining us.
Hey, Sean, thanks for having me here.
So the place that I like to start is just with a little bit of background on your journey to this point. And if you could you share a little bit more about kind of where you started in dentistry and kind of what that journey was like and how it led you to where you are working with dentists today?
Absolutely. So I practiced dentistry for 10 years. And in year three, I decided that I hated it, to be very blunt. And so, you know, after all that investment in getting into this career, that was a really hard feeling to deal with of really not liking my work. And in that moment, I decided that I wanted to try to find a different career path. And I remember reaching out to one of my supply company reps and taking him to lunch and saying, hey, you know, could I do what you do? And he convinced me not to, because he said I was overqualified and I'd waste my degree. And so I just silenced this feeling that I had that I was looking for something different. And I stayed in dentistry for 7 more years. And it was hard. It was a lot of ups and downs, a lot of very low downs, a lot of a low grade depression and anxiety that I just felt worried all the time. I felt stressed. I was afraid I was going to get sued. I would have insomnia worrying about what I was doing the next day or what I already did that day. And I wasn't having fun. And basically, I eventually decided to walk away. And it's such a long story, which we can get into all the details, but I decided that I couldn't do it anymore. I had to quit. And so I left practice after 10 years and went into weight loss coaching and some other things to replace it. And yeah, I mean, basically the crazy thing about it was this happened to me. My third year out, it was 2004.
Okay.
And think back to 2004. Do you remember anybody talking about burnout in those days?
No, not at all.
Right? Like nothing. No one was talking about it. And I remember thinking that I was too early in my career to be burnt out, because that only happened to people who were in a career for a long, long time. And I was only 3 years in. So I just dismissed it and just took it as I don't like what I'm doing. And it wasn't until the beginning of 2020 when I started researching burnout. And when I found these lists of what are all the signs of burnout, I had every single sign of burnout. And so it's kind of interesting to think that I had to leave the career for this severe burnout that, you know, people ask me if it would have been different for me if I knew I had burnout. Probably not. I think I'm still in the right place, and clinical dentistry was just the wrong fit for me. But yeah, it's been quite a process of dedicating my whole life to this career, then realizing it wasn't right for me, and then having to create a plan B.
So I want to start very early in that story with a follow-up question for anyone that's listening that is considering dentistry, and maybe what were the signs that it wasn't for you that in hindsight you missed before you even signed up to go to dental school?
So I love that question, because that's the challenge with dentistry is you can't ever really know what it's like until you're sitting in that chair. and you're actually doing the work. And so you have to sort of take a leap of faith. And then by that time, you've invested so much money in it.
Right.
So I perceived dentistry as really awesome to help people, and patients were always so fun and grateful and well-behaved. And I thought it was really straightforward. You know, I had some fillings as a kid and everything was always fine. I never had problems and I was always a good patient. And I loved the way the dental offices made me feel and everyone was so happy and positive. We do, as dental professionals, we do such a good job of making this work look easy, you know? And so I thought it looked great and then didn't realize that so much of what we do is unpredictable and that, you know, yes, most of the patients are really nice people, but there are always a handful of them that make it hard. And so I guess I didn't see that it was such a responsibility. That's a funny thing that I'm saying that, because I think about this idea of carrying the responsibility for patients, and that was my fault. You know, the dentists that are happier in practice, it's because they're able to let that go. The dentists that struggle more is because we are people pleasers. We're perfectionists. We're like trying to make every situation okay for our patients and great for our patients and great for our staff and our team. And we oftentimes will put everyone before ourselves. And so it just creates a big burden and it creates a lot of pain. So yeah, that may be more of what you, more than what you wanted.
No, it's interesting. And what I heard you say was, did you take on the feeling of, if I had just presented the treatment plan this way, then they would have taken action and implemented it. And it's my fault they didn't take action. And that was a small subset of what I heard you say. But that's interesting how much of a burden you took on yourself for patient outcomes.
Everything. And that's one of the, I'd say, leading causes of burnout, is that we don't have these boundaries of what is mine and what is the patient's too. So some people really struggle with the HR and the team. I always struggled with the patients. Those were because I wanted the best for them. But then if I didn't get the gratitude for working really hard, or they would complain, I was scared. I was scared I was going to get in trouble. I didn't like the feelings of confrontation. So yeah, exactly what you said in your example. You're living in constant regret, like, oh, I should have done this. Oh, I should have done that. And you really are. So there's a fine line between blame and responsibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very much, instead of taking responsibility and owning it and then moving on, it's like beating yourself up and blaming yourself for not being perfect.
So I'm next curious about how you went from, I think you said you really, in hindsight, saw that it was 2 or 3 years in that it wasn't for you, but you continued in clinical dentistry for another 7 or 8 years. Boy, that's a long time to not like what you do every day. And were you able to identify, well, I guess I'll leave it up to you. Did you really identify very early on that it's not a season of life? It's not the relationship I'm in outside of dentistry. It's not that I'm not working out. The problem is dentistry. Mm-hmm. And I guess, how did you sort through that? That probably brought about a lot of different feelings.
That is a really good question as well, because that's really the heart of the matter, is early on, we can get these inklings, these feelings, these suspicions, and we do everything we can to shut it down and dismiss it, because we've invested so much to get here that it's like a marriage. Dentistry is like a marriage. And for so many of us, we've gotten married without even dating dentistry. Some of us did date dentistry, right? We got jobs in dental offices. We really got to see what it was like. But for some of us, I never worked in a dental office. I just thought that the life looked so amazing and I loved people and everybody told me it was such a great career. And so when you hit that point where you start to question, you really do almost shut yourself down and make other excuses, like, oh, maybe it's the job, which is valid, right? We should look at whether it's the job or the career and really assess what is going on. Or maybe it's my coping skills. And it's great to work with a therapist or a coach to figure that out. I think it's important to do all those things. But at the end of the day, I think sometimes when you know, you know. And if you really have that feeling of this isn't right for me, I would say do what you can. I went down to the Pankey Institute 4 times and I loved going to get CE there, but it never really quite helped. So if you've poured everything that you can into fixing how you see dentistry, how your environment is, maybe your skills, pour into that. But if you, that feeling keeps coming back over and over, if you keep having, you know, the Sunday night blues, if you go on vacations and you dread coming back to your life. And I mean, everybody wants to stay on vacation. No one really wants to come home from vacations, but I'm talking about like, I hate my life come home, like feeling worse and depressed. If you're seeing those feelings keep coming back, then it's probably the wrong career.
What was it that finally spurred you to take action? And we'll get into what you do now in a little bit and a little bit deeper, but what was it that finally helped you move on from clinical dentistry?
Yeah. So one day I came home and my husband gave me an ultimatum. He said, we can't do this anymore. You can't come home crying. You can't wake up at 2 a.m. every night, sort it out. And I don't care what we do. If we have to sell the house, if we have to move, fine, but you need to sort it out or our marriage is not going to last. That was amazing. I'm laughing because, you know, it wasn't really an ultimatum, but that, those were the words he said.
But and did you almost need him to say that before? Yeah,
absolutely. That's why I laugh about calling it an ultimatum, because it kind of was an ultimatum, but it was really permission. Right. Permission for me to say, okay, maybe I can seek out solutions, because we think we've invested so much in this that we just don't give ourselves options. I mean, we dismiss the idea of creating options before we even start. And so I really needed that. And that was the big turning point. And even still, I mean, that was probably in year 7 of my career. It still took me 3 more years to figure it out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 3 more years of misery. Because I was like hanging by a thread.
So there's some similarities to this in what I do as a financial advisor and finding a model that works well for people like me in my industry. And we use a term, or a term that gets thrown around a lot with that is called head trash, where there's all these reasons that you have that you think are true about why you can't do something. And I guess with that as the backdrop, what was the head trash that you struggled with that maybe you found out to be true, maybe it wasn't true, about why you couldn't move on from clinical dentistry? And how did you kind of get over that? And did you find out on the other side to be any truth to it?
Yeah. I love that term, head trash. I forgot about that one. That is a good one. And there's so much head trash. And for me, it was, there's nothing else I could do. I have no skills because dental school was so specific. I have no skills. There's nothing else that will make me money. I don't know what I like. I mean, so many things. What will people think of me? Why are other people able to do this and be happy in dentistry? What's wrong with me? Maybe I just don't like to work, which is, that one makes me laugh, because like we didn't get to dental school because we didn't like to work. And so many of us will question that in ourselves. Oh, maybe I just don't like to work. But actually, you wouldn't have gotten here if you didn't like to work. You wouldn't get here by being lazy. So I'd say those were some of the main things, and they're all trash. And when you go through the process, you start to realize, and for me, it was after years of personal development and working with a career coach and working with a therapist that I finally, after just over and over working on my mindset, one day I just realized, wow, dentistry is hard. And most people can't do the things that I can do. Like, who can pull a tooth? You know, it's actually, I know we dismiss how hard we work. We ignore it. We don't give ourselves credit. And so to see that, wow, most people in the world can't do what I can do. And if I can do this, I can do anything. And so to have that shift from saying, wow, I have no other skills, to wait a minute, I can do anything because I've done this, like the hardest thing in the world. That now I'm sitting here thinking of all the dentists who are like, that's not, dentistry is not hard, but it is really hard. So, but yeah, I mean, that shift from thinking I had no skills, no options, to then saying, okay, it's a possibility. Now, then it was really just about figuring out, okay, I know I can do it. Now it's figuring out what is it and how can I do it? And you could see how if you shift out of that old head trash and into this new belief, that it's just going to be easier to get yourself into action.
And it's amazing how new opportunities probably start presenting themselves once you get to that point.
100%. And they were probably there all along, right?
Yeah.
We just didn't see them.
So before getting into how you now help other dentists with this burnout, or just really generalizing the problem, how common is it? And I know it's common, or I know it's not uncommon, but what has your experience been like in terms of how many dentists are experiencing some form of burnout?
It's really common. I think it's more common than we realize because people don't feel safe expressing it to anybody because we don't want our patients to find out. We don't want our colleagues to find out. I mean, I probably talked to 30 people in the last 30 days who are unhappy in practice and are trying to figure out how to change, what to change. And everyone has a different solution for themselves. So in my world, it's like a 90% of dentists are unhappy, but those are the ones I'm talking to. So I would love to know if there are studies in the entire dental community that break down how many people are burned out. But I think it's more than we're seeing.
And how do you go about helping dentists that are somewhere on the burnout spectrum find out what's a better way of life within or without dentistry for them?
Yeah. So I have this on my website. I have a tagline that says, let's get real about your dental career. And so for me, it's about, all right, let's be honest about what's really going on, what you're feeling, what you're experiencing. And I would break the burnout into two different categories: people who are burnt out and love their work, and then people who are burnt out and hate their work. And I honestly just learned this about 6 months ago when I started burning myself out because I love what I do now. And I got to this point where I was crying over stupid things. And I was just so frustrated. And the idea of looking at emails just had me overwhelmed. And I really hadn't had a break in a long time. And I had a trip to go out of town. And I came back feeling great again. And so when you love, and I love what I do now. Mm-hmm. So when you love what you do and you get burned out, things like vacations and taking breaks and getting support from other people and creating boundaries, those things, exercise, like those things really help treat your burnout. And then you work them for a while. And when you start neglecting them again, you probably get burnt out again and you need to revisit, right? More vacations again, more breaks, more support. But when you are burnt out and you hate what you do, none of those things work. You go to yoga class, you feel great while you're in yoga, but the minute you set foot out the door, you feel exactly the same pain that you felt before you went in. Or, you know, a vacation is supposed to make you feel refreshed, but when you go on a vacation and 3 days into your week-long vacation, you're already worrying and dreading going home. And then you're even more depressed. Like, I mean, I used to have this thought where, oh, maybe I shouldn't have taken this vacation because it actually feels worse coming home from it. I think it's important when I'm talking to people, it's important to differentiate these two types of burnout. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you can create the solution. A lot of people in dentistry, when they're talking about burnout, they're talking about, oh, you don't like it? Then, you know, you should do more of the procedures that you love. So take more CE and just do that. And, or this one always gets me. Oh, you're unhappy in dentistry? Then buy a practice.
Double down.
Right? It's like, oh, you're unhappy in your marriage? You should have a baby together. Right? And I know that works for some people.
Well, it's interesting that, and I've heard you in some of the speaking that you've done too, you know, use sort of that relationship example with dentistry. And what I hear you saying is you first have to define whether like you need a divorce or you just need counseling. And from there, once you kind of figure that out, then there's two different paths that you can take. I guess for both those paths, when people need sort of an exit from dentistry, or at least the clinical side of it or the practice ownership side of it, what's that path look like? And you helping people find that path? And then maybe let's just start there. And I guess we can circle back to for people that just need to find a better way within the profession, what that looks like as well. But I'm interested in kind of both those angles.
Right. Okay. So the path out, that's the first one.
You tell me, would you like to start there? Or would you like
to start? Yeah, I'm happy to.
Okay.
I'm happy to. So the path out is anyone who, okay, actually, let me take a step back, because the cure or the right treatment for burnout is not necessarily to quit dentistry. It might be to just design your career differently. Maybe you could find a way to work 2 days a week and then find something you can do on the side. So I'm all about starting a side gig. That is the path that I suggest for people who are burnt out. Even if you love what you do, why not have a side gig? It makes everybody have so much more fun, and it makes them so much more happy. And then they feel freer, and they are making side income doing something different. And then they see that dentistry is not their whole world. So the reason I suggest starting a side gig is because that's the beauty of dentistry. We've got that flexibility. You can still make a really good living working a couple days a week and get that freedom. Most careers don't allow you that. And anybody I know who's either left dentistry or has become some of our most well-known entrepreneurs in our space who are loving what they're doing, even if they're practicing a little bit, they all started with side gigs. We're talking about relationships again. That's dating your career. That's finding a way to get curious and learn about what you like and learn about who you are and what this career or this work, this side gig work is like without really taking the plunge. It's like no strings attached and you haven't invested much. So if you don't like it, move on to the next. So that's the path that I suggest for people who are looking for something different. And then your other question was people who are...
Yeah, if they've either tried that or they just know that they're done, but maybe they haven't set aside enough money, or their practice isn't worth enough money, in that combination, they can't just retire and not do anything, but they can't practice anymore. They know that. Kind of, what does that look like?
Oh, right. So that is what I suggest for those people.
Okay.
Like, find a way, right? Because how much is your happiness worth? Find a way to cut back on certain expenses. And I never suggest just quitting dentistry. If you're ready to retire and that's part of your plan, great. And I don't think there has to be an age for retirement. If you want to retire at 45, go for it, right? But if you are stuck financially and you need the income, then I would say look long and hard at where you can cut back to try to free up, even if it's a half day. From if you're working 5 days a week, even if it's a half a day, that you could focus on something else for you, then it's going to be worth it. When people don't allow that solution, then they just stay stuck. And then they end up years later, really like wasting those years.
I'm curious about something that I've applied to my own life and my own industry. And I didn't do this until a year and a half ago, but... How many dentists have actually, in your experience, stopped and took an hour in complete silence with a cup of coffee, tea, beer, wine, whatever, and like wrote down what they really want out of their life first and foremost? And like starting with that, like really high level, what are we solving for? Big picture. Is that where it starts sometimes, or how common is that?
I love that too, because I think to answer your question, not a lot of dentists probably do that. Which is normal. I mean, like we thought dentistry was going to be, and for some people it is, but for those of us who it's not, we thought it was going to be this end all be all. And why develop any other parts of our lives? Because this is going to be the answer to everything, right? Mm-hmm. But what I find is if people were to sit down for an hour with a cup of coffee and try to write this life vision, they wouldn't know what to write down on the paper because they've become so disassociated from what they want. Because dentistry in so many ways has become, like I just said a second ago, it's become like we settle in, we think it's going to be this perfect life and we focus all on it. We forget who we are and what we are afraid to say what we want. And so that's where we need to kind of do a little extra work to be able to come up with the material to write down on that paper.
And be okay with if that vision, and you don't have to know everything and it can change is how I think about it, but there's this expectation out there for what everyone's life is supposed to be. And I think if you can just like let go of that expectation sometimes, that it's pretty liberating.
It's so liberating. And that expectation is what I think keeps so many of us stuck. And what most people who break free from that realize is that when you make your choice and you're confident, even if you don't feel it inside, but you portray confidence to those around you, that you're excited and confident about what you're doing, people will feel the same way for you. Like I had people years ago who, a couple people, they would say, oh, wow, after all those years of education and all that money you spent on your education, oh, how are you doing? Like, how could you walk away? And these were strangers who, right, who weren't in dentistry. They were, it was like my friend's mom who took yoga at the gym with me, you know? I remember her saying that to me. And yeah, it's kind of hard, but I just said, you know what? It wasn't worth it.
The people that really get it will say, good for you.
Exactly. But when you own it, people, fewer people will say that thing that, that woman said to me. The more you own it, the fewer people will say it. And people, when they say it, they're not trying to be mean. They really think they're helping.
Right. And they just don't understand. I mean, that's the...
They just don't get it. They don't know that like when the pain is that bad, I used to say you couldn't pay me enough to live this way. So I personally chose to cut down my financial earnings because I was like, I don't care. This isn't working. I don't care. I will take one less trip a year or whatever. And that helped me feel free. And then you can find something that you can build to build up to your dental income over time.
So let's bring it back to action for people that this is resonating with and they would like to explore where their burnout is and what some possible options are to have solutions for it. What's the first step with you and how do you work with people?
Yeah, so I do coaching. I do one-on-one coaching. And I also have a group program that teaches people how to start their side gig. The first step is to reach out to me and I offer free consults to help people. It's like in dentistry, they always say, you have to diagnose the problem in order to get the right treatment plan.
Right.
So these consultations I do are like, we're diagnosing your career. So you can then figure out what is your treatment plan? And if it's something I can help people with, then we discuss it. And if not, I share other resources with them. It's that simple. And if people aren't ready to talk to someone yet, I've got a Facebook group where they can just kind of watch and explore. A lot of people watch in there because this is a topic that's a little more sensitive.
Right. And people maybe aren't willing to put their face on it publicly yet, even among other dentists, I'm guessing.
Totally. Exactly. So yeah, so my Facebook group is called Dentist Side Gigs. If you're on Facebook, Sean, and you're not already in there, you should join.
I think I looked at, okay. I wasn't sure if it was for me or
you're
not.
You're welcome. Okay. You're welcome in it. Yeah.
I will go ahead and invite myself in. Thank you for
because
the invite.
Also because you're helping dentists create that plan, that exit strategy.
Right. And this is probably another podcast, but I'm intrigued about if you could cut back your lifestyle some and be way happier working less. I don't understand why people don't do that, but I also don't understand everyone's situation is different. And I recognize that it's naive for me to think that way. But yeah, that's some of the things that I try to ask these higher level questions to people that I work with as well. So this is all interesting stuff to me. If we, throughout our conversation today, is there anything that I haven't hit on that you think is important to mention or that we haven't covered that you would like to add?
Gosh, it feels really complete. I'm just waiting for you to ask for my joke.
Yes, the name of the podcast is, after all, Dentists, Puns, and Money. So it can be a pun, it can be a dumb joke, however you want to look at it. But yeah, the mic is yours.
Okay, so I'm not a joke teller, really. And it's not really a joke, but through this process, one of the things that helped me connect with my creativity and really start to, like you mentioned, sitting down for an hour writing that letter. I couldn't have written that letter. But one of the things I started doing to help me understand more about who I was and what I wanted was I started a blog, and I was blogging about things that I liked, food and travel, and no one read it. But it was great because it helped me increase my awareness. And that was when I started seeing all the different opportunities out there. And then I found a way to leave dentistry, and I found a blog post just while I was looking around online. It was titled 10 Reasons I Hate the Dentist. And I was like, all right, well, fine. Here's 10 reasons your dentist probably hates you too. So there, you know? So I wrote this blog post, 10 reasons your dentist probably hates you too. And overnight it went viral, which showed me that a lot of people, I didn't know anyone else felt the way I did, you know, to the stigma of this. And then I realized, wow, there are so many other people that feel this way too. So if you want, I could tell you a few of my 10 reasons your dentist probably hates you too.
Yeah, let's hit on a couple of them.
All right, here's one. This is number one. The first thing you say when you sit down in my chair is, I hate the dentist. And my response to that is, really? Did your parents teach you any manners? Did they ever teach you that it's impolite to tell someone you hate them the moment you greet them? What I really want to say back is, oh, I hate you too. So that was the first one. Let's see, what's another good one? All right. I tell you that you have a cavity and you need a filling, and you wait months or even years to get the necessary work done. And then my explanation is, eventually the tooth starts hurting. 2 weeks. Oh, no, sorry. I tell you that you have a cavity, you need a filling, and you wait months or years to get the necessary work done. And then this tooth starts hurting, 2 weeks of pain go by, and you call me on a Saturday night while I'm at dinner with friends because your tooth that needed a filling a year ago and it started hurting 2 weeks ago is suddenly an emergency. You know, they're kind of like that. They're snarky, they're joking, but when you read it, it makes people laugh. So I don't have a joke, but my 10 reasons your dentist probably hates you too is one giant dental joke.
And that's on your website. And maybe that's a great chance to plug your website as we wrap up.
Absolutely. So you could just Google 10 reasons your dentist probably hates you too and find it because it'll come up right away. My website is lolabeescareercoaching.com.
Awesome. That is Dr. Laura Brenner, certified professional coach and owner of Lola Bee's Career Coaching. Dr. Laura, thank you for sharing your story, your expertise, and for being a guest on Dentists, Puns, and Money.
It was great to chat with you, Sean, and thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening and following along. Are you a dentist nearing your retirement from clinical, or have you already hung up your handpiece? Would you like to learn more about ways to reduce your taxes and generate income from your assets in retirement? Our affiliated firm, Dentist Exit Planning, might be able to help you with those two things. Schedule an initial consultation with us on our website. Our web address is dentistexit.com. There's no obligation for your initial consultation. Again, schedule that initial consultation at dentistexit.com. As for our disclosure, Dentist Exit Planning and Terrell Advisors is a registered investment advisor. The information presented should not be interpreted or construed as investment, legal, tax, financial planning, or wealth management advice. It does not substitute for personalized investment or financial planning from Dentist Exit Planning or Terrell Advisors. This podcast conveys the views and opinions of Sean Terrell and his guests, and the information herein should not be considered a solicitation to engage in a particular investment or financial planning strategy. Information presented is for educational purposes only, and past performance is not indicative of future results.